Watch the brand new documentary, Gamertag Radio, A Podcast Story, now for free on YouTube. Go to story.gamertagradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 748. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, of course, co-host of the show, as always, we got Paris in the house. What's up, Paris?
Hey, good evening. How's everybody doing?
Good, man. What's up with you, man? Looks like you're angry, just waiting there to test your bat skills. What's
That's
up
right.
With
I that, got man? My Far Cry bat. You get out of line, I'm going to come through the internet and knock you upside the head. That's what I'm waiting on.
So even if I said refund, let me dream, any of those
what
things.
As soon as you say what if, it should be right upside the head.
Yeah. And also joining us this week, we got Pete. What's up,
what
Pete?
What up? How you doing, man?
Good, man. Good. How's your adventures at Hope County right now?
Hope County is legit, man. And like as Paris, I too has my Far Cry slugger, so any of y'all start to get out of line, you know, I'm gonna hit you with the be cool stick.
Man, why you guys are being so like angry? Why you?
Hey, I ain't even playing
baseball.
I ain't even
baseball
playing
season.
I'm glad I got this thing because I'm gonna keep it in my car. Someone cut me off. Bring this thing
be
out.
Cool stick.
Oh snap! Cool, man. All right, head over to gamertagradio.com. Also, check us out at audioboom.com. You can listen to past episodes over there. Or follow us, subscribe, post a review. Go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and even Google Play and other podcast directories. Make sure to listen to GTR and share with your friends. Spread the word. Let other people know about us. It will help us out big time.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so first thing first, I was not expecting this at all. I got a word that I got nominated for a Tekla Awards. This is for Espanicize. For those of you who know, that's a pretty big event here in Miami, Florida. They're going to have an event here from April 17th all the way to the 19th. And this is more, you know, trendsetters when it comes to like social media, like from the Latino side and everything. You know, there's going to be broadcasters there, TV anchors, bunch of celebrities when it comes to like the music scene and stuff. So I'm very, very honored, man, to get nominated from them, man. So shout out to the whole Hispanicized team for the nomination. That's pretty cool, man. So yeah, I've been hitting them up to see if they're planning to stream this online. And they said, yes, they're planning to stream this April 19th. At 7 p.m., but more details to come sooner when it comes closer to the event. So I'm very, very excited. And yeah, just want to say that very quick, man. All right, so let's go with the conversation here. We got different topics here. And first thing first, I think we should start off with, you know, we talked about Far Cry. And, you know, Pete wasn't on the last episode. So, Pete, tell us about your Hope County experience. Far Cry 5 officially out now. And I know you're playing the PC version. Mm-hmm. I got the Xbox version. Paris also has the PC version. But it doesn't matter what version. I think to me is all the same game.
It did at 8 o'clock this morning.
What's up?
Nothing.
Oh, God. Oh, God. But yeah, your thoughts about Far Cry, in your opinion, man, because I know we talked about it on the show, but I want to get your opinion before we move on.
Well, I've done a couple of Let's Play sessions on the Twitch channel, and the response from viewers has been rather positive, right? Me personally, like everyone knows, I've been a fan of the Far Cry series for a while, especially since 3. To see Far Cry try and surpass the evil and the badness that is Vaas, with a character such as the father, Joseph Seed, has been very, very interesting, right? The game in and of itself, it's beautiful. I'm playing it on PC, obviously. I know you were playing it on Xbox. I was watching your stream the last couple of days. I think, you know, honestly, I think that's my highlight of the day is when I get to jump on your stream and troll you, just for troll's sake.
All the time.
But aside from that, you know, staying with the game, you know, obviously the three of us have had, you know, a great opportunity to see the game in different iterations. Having seen the game from what, 2 years ago, maybe more. You know, whether
no, I think it's been a year plus,
almost about 8. It's been about 2 years because you guys, you know, got to go up to Montreal.
No, not 2 years. We saw it last May. That was the first time we saw it.
It's almost a year. But having seen the iteration, the growth of everything that they've done from then all the way through release has been great, right? And I love the interactions with the random people. The nature interaction for me has been one of the craziest. I wasn't even in my game 20 minutes when I was already attacked by a skunk and a honey badger. And my NPC got killed like almost immediately. And it's just been the total immersion of NPCs, nature, the enemies that you encounter. It's been phenomenal. I've had a blast. Not ready to give a full-on review, but so far for me, I'm having a really, really good time playing Far Cry 5.
That's good. You know, I love the game. I'm getting deep. I already finished one region. Gotta go. There's two more that I need to do. But I truly like this game. But man, I've been finding this week a lot of bugs that randomly just popped up. Like, I was doing a mission, and I was going to that mission, and for some strange reason, it said I completed. I'm like, wait a minute, but I haven't done anything. Like, how? I was just going to that location. That kind of happened, or that's when, or when I, let's say I have to go to, like, a different location, right? So I'm always using the map. So I put, like, a waypoint so it could tell me, like, you know, where to go and everything. Sometimes when I do that, it doesn't show me where to go, and it'll load like later on. Sometimes it will be at the moment that I pick the location, or that will come later. I mean, these are like minor things. It's not like it's gonna
4K gaming.
True 4K gaming, but it's not. It's these little things is not gonna like mess up my whole gaming experience. Like I'm still having a blast. Like I today played a lot of Far Cry 5 Arcade. I love it. Like what I wanted to do was wait a couple of days until, you know, people already been playing it a lot. Maybe they're creating their own missions, their own maps and stuff. So I've been trying to wait for the right time. And today during the live stream, I played a couple of maps and some were good. Some were okay. Some were like super easy, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun. So hopefully later on, maybe a week or two, we're going to see more content there. So, but yeah, besides the little bugs, I'm having a great time with the game, man. I'm loving it so far, man. So, Paris, you want to say anything before we move on?
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, I haven't been able to play as much as I'd like, due to things that you guys know going on in my personal life right now. So I haven't played as much as you guys, but you know, I've about halfway through claiming my first area, something like that. And, you know, I've been playing on PC and I have 1080 Ti. So I've maxed it out completely, 4K Ultra, and it's holding pretty steady around about 65 frames per second. So not bad. We got it early. So once the NVIDIA day one driver patch came out, I was getting some micro stuttering and that cleared up as soon as I got that day one driver update. Cool. But I mean, just overall, man, I mean, it's freaking stunning. Oh, and it's an HDR too. I did not know that coming in that they were going to have HDR on the PC version. So that was a nice little bonus as well. But, beautiful game. I mean, beautiful open world of Montana. I mean, it looks great. Like you were saying, Danny, a couple of bugs here and there, but nothing too distracting to take me out of the game so far. If I had a nitpick, it would be that you have to spend money to get ammo, and I can kind of already see that becoming a problem down the road, you know, as far as unlocking, because you know, you got to buy new weapons and all that stuff, and I just wonder with the currency. I just hope we're not being pushed towards microtransactions on that stuff.
But. No,
can I say my opinion before you jump in? No.
I'm trying to defend it.
Yeah, well, I know you are. Hey, I got my bat. I'm ready.
Matt, you know what? Bring it. No, I'm here.
What I'm trying to say is I just hope once we get more towards the in-game portion of it, it's not being pushed towards microtransactions. And you can't defend something you're not at yet. So you don't know.
Paris, literally just a few minutes ago, I said that I'm done with a region and there's two more that I want to finish. I'm
so,
way ahead of
so, me. So you're not at the end? You're not at the end. That's not what I said.
All I'm saying is you don't really need to buy ammo. I haven't bought one gun.
I was waiting for you to finish. I haven't had to buy ammo either. Maybe that's because after I kill an enemy, I'm running over to loot the body.
And I know you can loot and all that. I'm forecasting, just being early in it. I'm just trying to look at what potentially could be a problem. And I didn't say it was, Danny. I just said potentially.
I think he's saying that because, you know, he has the bat, so he's trying to say whatever he wants. He's like, yeah, say the wrong thing, Danny.
Feeling brave.
Say the
he's
wrong thing,
strong.
Danny.
He's feeling strong, Jay.
I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, we've talked about this, you know, for probably almost a year since we've known about Far Cry 5. It's just that sandbox that they're giving you. I mean, you can just run around and go do whatever you want. And I love that I'm always in danger. I never feel safe when I'm walking around. You know, you might have a companion or something with you, but there's always something going on. And it ain't just, you know, the cult or whatever coming at you. This is freaking turkeys and bears and everything else, man, trying to attack you.
The turkeys.
I had a mob of turkeys after a couple of days ago. Yo, they're no joke, man. They killed one of my companions. I'm like, wait, what? A turkey killed my companion? What the hell's going on here?
Yeah. I have to say, fire is the one element I completely forgot about from previous games of the series. I completely forgot how quickly that thing will spread in the middle of a field or in a forest. Like, you'd be sitting there, you knock one thing over, next thing you know, it's a blazing inferno and everybody dies.
You know, I have a question for you guys. Who is your favorite companion so far and why?
Well, I only got Boomer, so I guess I'm saying Boomer.
Boomer. I know P at the event. When we were at the event, he was like, I'm going after Cheeseburger, the bear. Yeah. But I like Boomer.
Cheeseburger is tight.
I like Grace. Yeah.
Cheeseburger is tight. Peaches is no joke.
Peaches is my favorite one.
Everyone. Yeah. I will say, and shout out to Murray Peters. I love you, but like, I was expecting better. Like, for some reason, she goes down a lot for me. In the game, you know what I mean? Like, she tends to maybe overextend herself, where she should be a sniper from far back. But I see with her, in, you know, when she's been my companion into engagements, that she tends to go down quicker than if I had, you know, other people. So,
see, I love Boomer, but the only negative thing I have to say about Boomer is he barks a lot. So, you know, people will hear it, the enemies will hear him, but Peaches, yo, it's like a little ninja, man. The sneak attacks and everything, pretty good, man. I love Peaches, man.
Oh, yeah.
But as a backup, Grace is a really good one, man. Oof, I just got her today. Woo, she's freaking good. She's really good. Another thing, too, if you purchase the season pass, Ubisoft just already announced that Far Cry 3 Classic Edition will be released May 29th. For season pass holders, and for everybody else will be June 26th. So this will be after E3. Everybody else could buy the classic edition of Far Cry 3. So there you have it, folks. This is the opportunity for you. If you never played Far Cry 3, this is an opportunity for you to buy it.
So,
all right,
I have a question for you, Danny.
Yes.
So you're playing it on Xbox One X. So is there the enhancement patch and all that out? So it's in like 4K, and does it do HDR and all that on Xbox One X?
You know, that's a great question, because I haven't really been looking at it at all. I've just been playing the game. So,
well, you
that's
fail.
My bad. That's my bad. No, it's not failing because at the end of the day, I really don't. I really don't care about that stuff. I honestly don't really care about that stuff. It looks beautiful on my 4K TV. It looks really, really good. But I should do more research on that. So hopefully, the next episode, I'll do some research to see if I can make some changes.
Come prepared for the show.
Yeah, yeah. I just been playing the game. That's all I've been doing. Just playing the game. That's it. So. But see, you guys all technical, like, oh, let me just do this and that.
Well, the interesting thing, I mean, from the PC side of it is for this game, they partnered with AMD and not NVIDIA on this one. So there's no NVIDIA GameWorks or any of that. So actually, if you have an AMD card, supports FreeSync and all that stuff. I even saw a couple YouTube videos, you know, promoting it or whatever. But that surprised me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess just by default, I always assume that NVIDIA is going to be the one that these companies partner with, but this one was AMD, so that was a nice surprise.
I mean, this one, if you go to Xbox.com, it does says that this, you know, has 4K, HDR, all that stuff. Because I think also the PlayStation 4 Pro version also, I think, is HDR because they also has the logo there too. Somebody posted that part on Twitter. So
yeah,
anybody that has the PlayStation 4 Pro version, let me know if I'm correct or not. But I do believe it's also, you know, 4K and HDR too. So, but yeah, that's good. I mean, it's good. At the end of the day, it plays smooth.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, that actually benefits both the Xbox and the PlayStation because they have AMD socks on board. Mm-hmm. So
right, and Xbox One X is going to support FreeSync. Is it currently in beta right now? Because I know that's about to actually happen, where they're going to have 1440p support and FreeSync. So this would obviously be one of the first games that would support that, I would assume.
Really? Yeah. I got to look at that. Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Okay, game features. Yeah, just go to the Xbox.com website. Everything is there. So, all right, Paris, I know just a couple of days ago there was an update, a quick update there about Destiny 2. Can you tell us, those that have been lost and gave up with Destiny, is there anything new? Will this make us go? Look at that. Look at that. Your dog is saying, hell yeah. Hell yeah, Destiny 2. For sure.
Yeah. Bungie, I guess as of yesterday when we're recording this, they dropped what they like to call the Go Fast update. It is the 1.1.4 update. Made some, as it implies, made some speed improvements to your Guardians. Tweaked the sandbox, tweaked some weapons. Instead of nerfing weapons, they actually buffed a lot of weapons to actually bring them on par with what people are currently using in the meta, like Uriel's Gift, things like that. So now other weapons are actually been pushed up to actually compete with that. The feedback, so, well, there's going to be 6v6 PvP now with Iron Banner. They've added an 8-person rumble mode as well in a playlist. Mm-hmm. What else is going on? Nightfall has unique rewards now, which is good. This is what I like to call step one of a 3-step process to get Destiny 2 to where it should have been at launch. The next one is going to be when the May expansion comes out, and then obviously September or November, whenever it decides to come out, the fall expansion, because there's a rumor it may not be September now. It might be November, which is another reason why Call of Duty got moved up to October. But that's for another day. So far, so good. I'm back in, not as hardcore, obviously, as I've been in years past, but slowly but surely, this is a step in the right direction. It's bringing back what made Destiny 1 PvP so much fun, in that because what they did with Destiny 2 was they put a skill ceiling on everybody. So it didn't matter how good you were, you bumped up on that ceiling and you just tapped out, where they basically kind of unlocked that now. So now we're going to have more individual, quote unquote, hero moments. You're going to feel more powerful in the game. So it's good. It's not, I'm not going to sit here and declare, yep, everybody come back to Destiny 2. It's time to come back. Yeah. I'm not saying that right now, but this is a good first step to get back to that place. Hopefully by the time, like I said, we get to that May expansion, it'll be in a really good place. And then obviously by the fall update, they'll really be able to hit on everything that they're trying to do. So, you know, baby steps, I'll put it that way. It's baby steps. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, I'm going to be on the Destiny Community Podcast. Is it next week? Next week. Next week. Yes. Oh, next week. I'm going to be on there. So, I'll be on there talking about the update and just talking about Destiny and all that good stuff. So if you're listening to this, definitely go check out Pope Bear and Tefty and all those guys. And it should be a lot of fun.
So basically You're tempering expectation until you see more. You don't want to jump all in and jump into the deep end of the pool at this point.
And I think anyone that is a hardcore Destiny fan right now that is and or was a hardcore Destiny fan, this update, no one's going to tell you this update is the reason to come back. If you left because you didn't like how it was playing before, this isn't enough to say, all right, we're back. Put Far Cry 5 to the side. I'm done playing everything else. I'm just going to focus on this now. No, they're not there yet. They still got a lot of work to do. And they know that. I mean, I think that's the most important thing. Bungie understands that as well. And it's going to take a lot of work starting at E3 and over the summer to convince the community to come back. And as we've already seen, a lot of the content creators that have been supporting Destiny the past 3 years, they're gone and they're simply not coming back. At least they're not going to come back the way that they used to be, you know, because I think a valuable lesson has been learned with the problems that Destiny 2 has had. If you're a content creator, don't put all your eggs in one basket. I am not a hardcore content creator or streamer, but for those of you that are, that's just the one piece of advice I could give. If you're trying to make a career out of this, don't just do one. Be a variety streamer. Don't just do one game because you never know. A year ago, it's almost been a year since I went to that reveal event, and I say it every time. Frickin' layup. We thought this was a layup, easiest sequel ever hit. No, we're good. And look where we are now. Now we're sitting here going, well, baby steps. It's good. It's good. You know?
Yeah, games like Destiny, I know we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago, but games like that, it's tough, man. Like, it could be great or it could be pretty bad. And everybody's going to have opinions and feedback. And it's very complicated, man, you know? But, I mean, now we'll see later this year if there's going to be any major, major changes. I'm wondering, are they going to push some big stuff during E3, or are they just going to keep quiet, stay away from E3, or just wait until like closer to like September? Because usually that's when the expansion, right, always come out. Usually it's around September, right?
Right, but like I said, there's a rumor it may potentially come out in November this year. They may push it back to give them a little extra
time because of that.
Yeah. But I'll just say this. Deej has promised me we will have our yearly E3 chat. And after they reveal whatever the fall expansion is going to be, we'll finally be able to talk to some people at Bungie and see what they got to say about just because I really want to talk to them about what has the past year been like, you know, with the feedback that you've gotten from the community. Yep. I mean, it's had to have been a very humbling experience because, like I said, a year ago, they were freaking rock stars. Right. And now that narrative has completely changed. And, you know, it is what it is at this point. You know, I would just say this. To anyone that's upset with the game, don't take it out on the developers. They're people just like us. They're just trying to do their job. They just want to make the best game that they possibly can, and they made a mistake. We all make mistakes. So let's see how they react to it and fix it.
Honest question to you, Paris. Primarily, and Danny, if you want to chime in, you're more than welcome to, obviously. You said that the patch may get pushed back. Obviously, it's rumor, so it's speculation. It could be true. It could not. Do you think it behooves Bungie? And it's something that we always applaud when a developer wants to push their content back in order to get it right. Do you think that if they push it back to an October, November release period, I mean, hell, even September in this opinion, in the context of which I'm trying to ask the question, considering all this started going downhill somewhat December, maybe January of 2018, to wait all the way through to September to maybe November, is that maybe too long of a span for them?
I think with all the bad press that they've had, with all the ill will that they've had in the past 6 months or whatever it's been, if they got to delay it a couple months to get it right, you freaking delay it a couple months and get it right. They cannot afford another mistake. They cannot say, well, we got to go September because September is what we always do. And then it comes out in September and everyone's just like, Jesus Christ, what is this, Bungie? What are you doing? You know, everybody's gone. Then it is a dead game at that point. If that happens, no one's coming back. So to me, that fall expansion is the last stand for Destiny 2. If that fall expansion doesn't hit, forget it. Because guess what's coming right behind it? The Division 2, Anthem. People are just going to move on to something else. Sea of Thieves might have a big expansion at that point. Who knows? So people are going to move on to something else. Fortnite will probably morph into Fortnite 12 or something. You know, it's like things will change. And people will move on to something else. It's so, you know, that fall expansion is their last shot, in my opinion.
Speaking of Sea of Thieves, Microsoft just posted this a couple of hours ago. I said it was it today or yesterday? I can't remember exactly.
Today, but it was today.
Today. So Sea of Thieves is the highest selling new IP on Xbox One with over 2 million sold. I'm happy about that. That's great. I want, you know, Rare to continue to fix some of the issues in the game. But after Rare is done with all that stuff, now let's talk about content. What is it they're going to be adding?
Well,
not now. Cause I think right now it's too early. Right now it's way too early for that.
I have a question before you move into all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
This 2 million number that they're spitting out, is this 2 million retail sales or is this 2 million Game Pass? 14-day free trial.
That's a great question because it says...
You know what I'm saying? We don't know. Sold. I mean, we don't know. Yeah, they just said 2 million. They just said they got 2 million people. So,
here's the thing. I remember when The Division came out, I think that was the highest selling game ever at that time for Ubisoft.
For them.
Remember?
For them.
For that game, right? But it was great at launch. But like you said, Paris, the end game was pretty bad that people just moved on. They went to the next game. And it took some time for...
Before anybody.
Yeah. And it took time for Massive to fix some of the issues. And looking now, 1.8, great update. There's so... Like, now I play the game, there's so much stuff to do that I'm like, I don't know where to go. So it took some time. So, yeah. Microsoft could be celebrating the sales or Game Pass, whatever. But what matters is at the end of the day is the content a month from now. Are they going to announce any or adding stuff that's going to keep? Because look, today I went and dude, the game is freaking fun. Like today and yesterday I played a couple times, you know, I played with randoms. Great communication, great time. But it's all about the content, man, later on, man. So we'll see. I'm happy that this is good for Rare because this has been a tough couple years for Rare because everything has been Kinect stuff, you know? So this is good for them. This is good. I think this is positive for them, you know? So I don't know if you guys want to say anything about that, but.
Well, I mean, my thing on Sea of Thieves is like you're basically saying right now. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's all strawberries and cream right now. They're all rainbows and unicorns. Everyone's, you know, hey, we're having fun. Talk to me 2 months from now. Talk to me 6 months from now. Where's the content? What's the roadmap? That's the thing that Rare needs to openly be communicating. Like I would imagine and I would hope that Phil Spencer is standing on that stage in June and bringing someone on from Rare. And they're talking about Sea of Thieves season 2 or whatever they're going to wind up calling it, right? And they're showing all these things that they're adding to the game and adventures that you can go on and things that you can do. You know, fix, you know, some couple UI quality of life fixes, things like that. Just communicate with your community. As long as they continue to communicate and let us know what we can expect, I'm fine with it because I view Sea of Thieves as a casual, like I heard Ryan McCaffrey on Podcast Unlocked today. They had a big thing talking about Sea of Thieves today, and they call it Dad's Destiny or something like that because it's not the hardcore experience. Like he doesn't like Destiny because he doesn't want to do the grind, but he loves Sea of Thieves because it's a casual thing. And the point that he was making is the game he's playing right now. He can stop playing it for 6 months, a new event comes out, pick it up in 6 months, and he doesn't feel like he's left behind because all the things that you get in that game are cosmetic. So I can hop on a boat with you 6 months from now and not have played the game, and we can go on the same adventure and get the same loot together. And I think that's the thing that they got to cultivate and make people understand that we're not trying to compete with The Division. We're not trying to compete with Anthem. We want to make a game that you can play socially with your friends. And one thing, and I'm stealing this from Podcast Unlocked, but it's true. They were talking about the death system, the way it works, the respawn thing. They got to tweak that big time, because I feel like if you want to play it like a real pirate, let's say me and you go out and we sneak up on some dudes and we steal all their treasure chests and we sink the ship and we kill them and all that kind of stuff. The way it works right now, they could respawn right behind us and then they just kill us and take all our stuff too. There's no penalty for getting got, if that makes sense, right?
Right.
Whereas
right. It's like they cyclically come back. It's yeah. just a science of, I got you, you died, you come back, you come up behind me, you kill me because you surprised me, and it's just a cycle of just dying and dying and dying, and nobody gets it, and nobody right. ends up getting the loot unless right. something happens.
Right. I want to feel a true reward for being able to be a pirate and actually take down another ship and steal their loot. I mean, some people obviously don't want to play that meta and they're going to avoid those kind of confrontations. But if you get got, you shouldn't be able to get mad and then just come right back 5 minutes later and steal my treasure. You should have a penalty for that. If you respawn, you don't respawn in the same zone I'm in or something. There should be something that they need to tweak on that. But again, these are early days. These are things that community feedback that they can go in and tweak and fix. And, you know, I would just say this. I know they had the early server issues. Obviously, I was a little critical of that. You know, Danny and I talked about this, last episode. I view Sea of Thieves as great potential because I almost feel like it's a blank canvas that as long as the support is there, they can build a community around this thing and it'll be a nice, fun, casual community with a little pirate shenanigans thrown in at the same time. And I think the potential's there. And keep it the way it is as far as keeping your progression cosmetic. That way people can drop in and drop out whenever they want. And they don't feel like Sea of Thieves is a job where they got to jump on every day and grind. And look, I come from the Destiny community. So, of course, I love the grind. I'm fine with the grind, but not everybody is, you know. So I think there's a lot of potential with this.
So and to piggyback on what you were saying, I do like that. You and I could jump in on a Sea of Thieves adventure with Danny 6 months from now, and it doesn't matter if he's been playing and he's level 500 and you and I are only level 40 or something like that. We can still go in on that same adventure and have fun. Now, I want to clarify something that we were talking about, because while you guys were talking about it, I was doing some research on here, and it looks like they didn't sell 2 million copies. They are serving or playing – Up, there's 200 people playing Sea of Thieves at this point, at its peak. So it wasn't that they sold it, and it's two separate marketing lines. It's we've gotten, you know, Microsoft has gotten to the 200 or the 2 million players mark, and that it's become Microsoft's fastest selling new first party franchise. Okay, it's not that it sold 2 million. In X period of time as its first title, it's two separate bylines of announcements. They are serving 200 or 2 million. I keep saying 200 million for some reason. There's 2 million people playing the game, and that it's become its fastest selling first party IP in the franchise history. You know, so congrats to both of them. I just want to make sure that we clarify that.
Because
earlier on we may have erroneously reported that, so I just want to make sure that we get that correction out.
Where you got that news from Paris, because I saw it, you know, on our email, because, you know, we always exchange stuff. But do you remember where you got it from?
I got it from Aaron Greenberg. He tweeted it this morning. That's where I got it from.
And I'm going by multiple sources: IGN, WindowsCentral.com. So
I mean, if you actually think about it,
it's still great news for a brand new IP. For it to go within 1 week to already going, you know, it was in 2 days, in 48 hours, it hit 1 million players. And, you know, less than, you know, like 5 days later, it's hitting 2 million players. That's a phenomenal jump and phenomenal success for Microsoft and Rare. So shout out and kudos do go to them. And I wouldn't say it's sneaky marketing or anything. I would just say congratulations to Rare and to Microsoft for putting out a successful new IP. Me personally, I think we all agree. We just hope that the success isn't a harbinger of no more future content. Give us the future content, and that will show that this title will continue to succeed if it continues down the same path.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so March 29th, actually tomorrow, by the time you listen to this podcast, there's going to be an update for Doom in 4K. So PlayStation 4 Pro owners and also Xbox One X, on March 29th, you're going to get an update. And yeah, you could play Doom in 4K. I think it looks phenomenal. I can imagine how it's going to look in 4K. So that's good. Very good. So yeah, shout out to Bethesda, man, about that. Another thing, too, that I just found out about this. This was, shout out to DualShockers because they posted this. Third-party digital sales on a Nintendo Switch exceed physical sales for the first time in the United States. So more and more people are focusing on buying digital content on a Nintendo Switch, which makes sense because, honestly, I think the only games that I have, I don't have that many that's physical. I have like maybe less than five or so. The rest is all digital. But I'm kind of afraid of losing the game, the physical version. So might as well just get the digital and just go with that. I don't have to worry about the physical games and stuff. And I can see that. I can see more people buying it. Now, the thing that I'm a little bit worried in the future, you know, people buying more and more digital content, once it runs out of space, how is that going
to
work?
I think it's great for them. I mean, it goes to show that the Switch is a viable platform and it's no longer just first-party titles, not just Nintendo titles that you're going to see there, right? You know, mm-hmm. Obviously NBA Playground, you know, Stardew Valley has been an amazing game for that platform. And I know just even watching, you know, just seeing the response on our Discord server of the amount of people that are playing Stardew Valley even this far out from launch goes to show that it is a viable platform for people and for developers in alike. So shout out to them. Kudos.
I just read too a couple of days ago that Ark is coming out for Nintendo Switch. Interesting, yep. Right?
Yeah.
That's really dope. Very dope. I think that's a great game to start with that for the Switch. Like for like the open world and all that stuff, you know. So
it's going to be interesting to see how that's done because it is so reliant on multiplayer. It's a purely multiplayer game, right? There is no single player component to it. So it's going to be interesting to see how that ties in with the real time servers for communication and jumping into other people's worlds. Just seeing overall how that's going to be supported. It's going to be very interesting.
Now, one thing that Nintendo needs to do is to fix the eShop, the store where you could buy your games. Because, you know, there's a lot of, like, you know, every Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, there's always new content coming out from, like, indie companies. And it is sad that there's so many games that it's hard to discover new games. Let's say I'm a brand new Nintendo Switch owner. I want to buy new games, especially indie games, because I'm so into that, right? It's going to be hard for me to go and discover it. So I think Nintendo needs to have a brand new layout soon, like very, very soon, for us to discover new games instead of depending on which games are the best right now, they're selling the most, or, you know, like wait for the game sale to pop up or new releases or something. Like, it's better have a section to discover games depending on the games that you're playing. Like, you know, that's the thing I love about Spotify. Based on the stuff that I listen to, I discover brand new artists that's similar to the ones that I'm always listening to. So I think Nintendo needs to do something like that similar. So for me to discover new games that's similar to the ones that I play, I think. So that's my opinion. But anybody else want to say anything or are we good?
No, I think we're good.
All right. All right, P, I think we're going to go with fan mail. I know we have a couple questions here, and you have them ready?
Yep, before ready I to say go. Anything? I'm ready. I'm ready to
All
go.
Right. So. All right, here goes. And it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, so let's go with voicemail numero uno. Go for it.
There's our Spanish lesson for the evening. There we go.
There you go.
Hey guys, this is Lewis from North Carolina, first time caller. I just started listening to your podcast a couple months ago. I love every single thing you guys do, the content, the arguments. You guys show so much passion. I love the discussion, not argument, but discussion between Pete and Danny over Sea of Thieves. That was great. Paris, you're awesome too. Don't think I'm leaving you hanging. But question for all of you. Favorite company that you guys have worked with? You guys probably been asked this before, but since I'm new, I would like to know. Thank you.
Wow. Favorite company to work with? I mean, Ubisoft. Right now? Yeah. Yeah. Right now, it's a no-brainer. Yeah.
And I think from the big three, I think Xbox been great from the big three. Nintendo second, PlayStation is like way down, but they're getting better here and there. Not messing around, I don't care. I'm thinking what else? Favorite company? Ubisoft for sure.
I mean, if you would have asked me this question 6-7 years ago, I probably would have steered towards EA. Personally,
EA is good.
We've always had a great relationship with them. Yeah. Microsoft Game Studio, or you know, Epic. We've had a good relationship with them, but right now, I think right now, hands down, it has to be Ubisoft. I mean, and it's not just because we're hawking, we're hanging out with the Far Cry 5 bats and playing Far Cry 5 now.
Speak for yourself.
Just overall, in general, the level of access we've gotten recently, the trust and the communication that we've been having with them, it just goes to show that, you get what you put in, and we've had a phenomenal relationship with those at Ubisoft, and hopefully that continues to go.
Yeah, it all depends on, obviously, like he said, we're talking right now. So that's why I immediately said Ubisoft for everything that Pete just said. Past few years have been amazing. Our relationship with them, or as they would say, our partnership with them. They've been very helpful with getting us access to their titles and interviews and all that good stuff. But if I have to look historically, I have to say Microsoft. I have to say Xbox. I'm not here if it wasn't for Xbox. Back in 2007, inviting me, I had absolutely no business to be on their campus in 2007 to go to that Crackdown event. I had no business in 2007 becoming an Xbox MVP. I had no business over the X amount of years from that point getting all the access that I did and meeting all the people that I did because of Xbox. So, yeah, if I got to say all the time, I'm always going to say Xbox, because I'm always grateful to the opportunity that the people there gave me. And some of them are still there. I'll say this for people that love them or hate them. Larry Herb, a.k.a. Major Nelson, big help back in the day. Trixie, back in the day. Tony Hines, back in the day. John Picaro, Chris Palladino. I mean, these are all people, names and people that I've known, like I said, since that time, that in one way or another have helped me personally, and I'll always be grateful to that. And then the runner up to that, like Pete kind of mentioned, would have to be EA, because it kind of just ran parallel. With all the stuff that Xbox was doing at the time, EA was a big help getting access and invite me to events and stuff. And it's funny how it all works now. Danny, you and I had a conversation with a certain someone that worked at EA for years that now works somewhere else, and it's like you cultivate those relationships, I even think of like a game like Fortnite. And I remember at E3, God, I got so many E's, E3 last year, we're at the Xbox booth. Pete, I don't even remember this. We ran into said person that works for Epic and at the Xbox booth. And he told us, hey, anytime, come up to the Epic booth and check out Fortnite. That relationship was established when he was at EA. It's funny how the world works. So the lesson I'm trying to say here, kids, because I'm an old man, is don't burn bridges. Be nice to people, because you never know where the hell they're going to be in the future. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
No. Yeah. And funny you say that mention about, current Epic employee. There's multiples over at Epic, and I spent probably 2 hours of one of my days at the Epic suite, because they weren't in an actual booth on the show floor. They were actually upstairs in the South Hall, and I spent about 2 hours in there talking with that one and one other that used to work community for another website and is now working at Epic, and we were all just hanging out, chatting, and playing Fortnite. You know, the campaign mode. This is obviously just way before the Battle Royale stuff came out. And so, you know, again, like you said, you never know who you're going to run into or work with or partner with. So always make sure that, you know, you stay honest, you stay true, you don't badmouth people, because this is a very small industry.
Yeah, it is.
As huge from a dollar fiscal, you know, view that you take a look at, it's a very, very small community, and turnover is rather high, unfortunately, in this industry. So you'll see a lot of faces at one title, 6 months later, they're at another, right? We had a close friend of ours that recently lost employment, and now she's at another company overseas, you know? So never burn those bridges. This is a very small community. Yep. Work hard, be respectful, be truthful, be honest, be professional.
You know, another company that we forgot to mention is Activision. I think they've been there for years, giving it access for content and stuff like that. So shout out to Activision. They've been very helpful too.
Absolutely.
It's way back in the days that even to this day, I always mention this because I just love the story, but Paris went when Call of Duty wasn't even a big thing. It was just a concept, the Modern Warfare, all that stuff. They invited Paris to attend their community event. And it was like a very small group of people. This one, when the studio wasn't even that big, it was small. They show the concept to Paris and everybody else. It was just strictly video. And guess what? One of the biggest franchises ever for Activision. So yeah, you never know, man. You never know what could happen, man. So just want to say that. All right, so we're gonna play the next voicemail.
Absolutely. Here we go.
There we go.
Voicemail number two.
Hey, what's up, Gamer Tag? This is Juan from New York City. I'm calling to, I guess, give a comment on last episode 746 with Danny and Pete. We're having a very detailed discussion on Sea of Thieves, this launch, you know, first impressions, where's the game going? And, you know, I myself, Danny, I have to admit, I am definitely a big Xbox guy. You know, I have stuck through them with, you know, this generation's release and all the missteps they had. And I've also seen, you know, the progress that they've made. And honestly, I really wanted to give the Sea of Thieves a chance. I happen to have a free subscription of Xbox Game Pass. But I have to say, I agree with P in the sense of I don't think it should have been priced at $60. This is a game that does not have a campaign. You know, you were comparing it to Destiny 2, Division, and those games, you know, they had a lot of variable content. You know, they had story, they had campaign, they had multiplayer. One game I have to say, I haven't really heard you guys talk about it. I'm just so in love with this game, Monster Hunter World. The content in that game is amazing. For $60, I already basically earned my $60 out of that game. 90 hours in, and I haven't even completed the quote-unquote story part of the game because there's so much, you know, end-game multiplayer content to be had once the story is finished. So just, you know, just my comments and thoughts on that. Would like to maybe hear Paris's opinion. I know he wasn't on the episode. Later.
There you go.
Yeah. You know what? I think that's fair. I love when listeners call us and they give their opinion. And I think that's fair. You know, I think to me, I when I talked about Sea of Thieves, I talked about my experience, why I love it, why I'm so passionate about it. And I know not everybody's going to agree with me. I know people are going to have different opinions about the game, which is fair, you know. But see, I love that conversation for us to have with the listener, right? But when listeners will call and look, there was one listener that left us like maybe like 6 voicemails. Each was like super short just to say that the game is trash and they didn't agree with us. And it's like, get to the point and tell us why you don't like the game and we can have a conversation. Exactly what this caller just did. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that big time. And another thing too, Monster Hunter World, great game. I know we haven't really talked about it. I'm the only one that's been playing it a lot. I love the game. Loved the story. I think out of all Monster Hunter, this is like the one that I could play more and relate to more, like when it comes to grinding and all that stuff, because the other ones was like, I think it was way too hard for me to play. And this one, it seems like they made it in a way that is more for everyone. Yeah, there is grinding in the game, but yeah, people could play the game and everything. So a lot easier than the previous versions and stuff. But yeah, look, if you're into Monster Hunter, stick with that game. If you're into, you know, Destiny, The Division, that those type of games, stick with those type of games. But Sea of Thieves to me is more, like Paris said earlier, it's more for the casual audience. Yeah, if you're into the whole just having fun, that's great. The thing that I like about Sea of Thieves is I felt left out playing Destiny, the first Destiny. I felt left out. I see everybody ahead of me. They already have done the raid. People move on. They want to do other things. Some people, yes, they will go back and help me out to level up everything. But with Sea of Thieves, like the guys were saying earlier, they could just play 6 months from now and they won't feel left out. They feel like we're all in the same level. That's the thing that I love about Sea of Thieves. I could just go on whenever I want and just play it without having to worry about my levels, man. You know, I truly love the game. So if people don't like it, that's fine. I truly, truly understand. It's not for everyone, but I think the game is special and has potential to do bigger things later on. You know, I think this is the beginning for Rare. You know, so
I haven't played it, and that's because I'm waiting for it to come out on PC, and that's obviously not going to happen until August, September of this year, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Monster.
So
I think that was a bad decision. They should have released at the same time and add some crossplay. I think that would have been cool too, but that's just me.
I think crossplay, that's a perfect opportunity for crossplay because of From what I've heard, obviously I don't really have a lot to speak on because I haven't played it on any other platform. I'm waiting for it on PC. But from everything that I've heard or listened to from people who have currently played the game, that's a game that you have to play with others. It's almost too boring and repetitive if you try to play it solo. That's a game that I would love for, if it has crossplay, for the three of us to play on a stream of just us going awesome. And just, you know, going through the wastelands and hunting and fighting animals. It's almost similar to like something like The Witcher, you know, something like a co-op Witcher experience. That's probably as close as the three of us are going to get to something like that until maybe in the future, who knows, but I'm waiting to withhold judgment on that title in specific just until it comes out on PC. Cause it's going to look beautiful on PC. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree that I feel it was a lost opportunity that it didn't come out on PC already, or even if it wasn't at launch, maybe at least a month after it launched, something like that. But basically within the same kind of window that the console version came out, because I'm like you, I'm like, well, I'm just going to wait on the PC version. But maybe by the time it comes out on PC, I've moved on to something else. I don't know. Maybe it's not the phenomenon that it is, but I'm totally with you on the crossplay stuff. And I got a couple comments on crossplay as a whole. Obviously, we've been playing it. Sea of Thieves, Xbox Play Anywhere has been great. Danny and I, you know, we've done Fortnite via crossplay. I've been playing Gwent via crossplay. But I'm gonna tell you right now, the game that is probably going to announce at E3 that is going to literally set this crossplay thing to another level is going to be Borderlands 3, because you know what's going to happen. You know they're going to have PC and Xbox crossplay. I can see that. You know it's going to happen. I cannot freaking wait.
Yeah. I can see that. That's a great one right there.
Is that a
I
Miss Leo see that. Reference there? A little Miss Leo sound
yeah.
clip there?
Yeah. Is that a Miss Leo thing? Miss that's Leo. A Miss Leo prediction?
And it's just worth the Miss Leo, because I literally tweeted this out before we started recording. And ironically enough, they responded to me. I was like, I would love for this to happen, but I don't think it ever will. I want Discord on Xbox Live. That way, like we do Sea of Thieves, we're in the Discord channel. Danny could be on his Xbox. He can just pop right into Discord in there, and we just keep it going. And if other people join matches, you just send them an invite to your Discord thing. They join Discord, and we all talk in Discord. That way, it doesn't matter what platform we're on. We're all communicating. It's great. The reason I say I don't think it'll ever happen is because, obviously, Xbox Live is Skype, but Discord responded to me while we were recording, and they even said they have, if you go on their support page, it's a feature that they're working on.
It's a feature request. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that being a viable option. Whether it actually comes true, I don't know, because obviously it is a competitor to Skype. We used to use Skype here on the show and now we no longer use that, right? We use Discord. I think it would be a great opportunity for people who have maybe network issues, a la someone who has a strict NAT, therefore can't communicate with players in game, right? But the game still allows you to join the match. You're just not allowed to communicate with players. Like for example, we were all trying to play Sea of Thieves. I was having an issue with NAT. Paris was, I think Paris was having a NAT issue as well.
Yeah.
I ended up having to enable Windows Firewall to open it up. And now every time I open up a new application, I got to say yes, allow access. But that's something that I had to do in order to be able to play crossplay with Danny and Paris. It's against what I would normally do with my computer configuration, but it's a small price that I have to do now. It's one extra step whenever I start a game. Being able to communicate over Discord bypasses that in as a whole. So,
all right. So here's another question. This is from Sunny in Oregon. It says, "Hey fellas, continue grinding like you do. I have appreciate your coverage of Far Cry, Sea of Thieves, The Division, and other games. Quick question. Do you see the Xbox One X coming down in price anytime soon? I'm thinking making the jump from my Xbox One S. However, I don't want to fork out $500 only to see the price drop after E3 or something like that in the very near future. Keep up the great work, and I'm glad to see The Division is finally getting some love. Sunny from Oregon. Thanks, man.
Well, let me say this right now. Follow Fat Kid Deals on Twitter, because literally this week I saw about 10 posts from them where you could have got an Xbox One X for $350. So
that's a major, but this is like from a store or from eBay or like where they're getting
it's eBay. It's eBay, but it's a trusted buyer on eBay.
Okay.
But I get what I'm saying. If you're worried about paying $500 and you're looking to, obviously that's $150 savings. So that alone makes it worth it. But then I even saw, was it Newegg? I forget who it was. They had a Xbox, and this again was eBay, but I'm pretty sure it was Newegg. They had an Xbox One X with Far Cry 5 for $400. Mm-hmm. So the deals are out there. And like he's saying, I don't think they're going to cut the price at E3. They may drop it $50 this holiday. But if you're looking to get an Xbox One X now, and like I said, you want to try and protect yourself a little bit on the price, yeah, man, follow Fat Kid Deals and look for one of their things. Because look, I even told them, get me an Xbox One X for $400 and I'll buy it. They did it, and then I reneged. So they probably hate me now. But yeah, if you're in the market for one, man, I mean, the deals are out there if you look. So this one is from Corey, and he's saying, good morning, guys. Longtime listener and first time asking a question and sending a comment. I just finished listening to episode 746, and Pete summed up basically how I feel with server issues during launch periods. I feel that is unacceptable because the developers should have extra capacity and scale back. The two most recent examples are Friday the 13th and Sea of Thieves for me. Most people didn't come back to Friday the 13th, and I fear the same may happen to Sea of Thieves. I finished multiple quests in Sea of Thieves, but never made it to an outpost to be kicked off. I didn't mean to laugh.
Oh, that's
no way to return to the game. I thought he was going to say because pirates stole my stuff. And let me know what you all think. Thank you for the great content and keep up the good work. From Corey. So obviously we've already kind of touched on this during the episode. And I know when Danny and I were talking last episode, I said the same thing. It's Microsoft. It's Azure. Have overcompensate. Bottom line, I find the fact that Sea of Thieves had capacity issues at launch unacceptable, because you had multiple betas. You literally promoted Game Pass and the 14-day free trial to coincide with Sea of Thieves. So you knew there were going to be a big influx of people coming to that game on launch. So why didn't you overcompensate for it? So like I said, if I had any knock against Rare and Xbox, it would be that they didn't plan accordingly for the influx of people to come on to Sea of Thieves day one. Now, the news that we saw about the 2 million people obviously suggests that they're not going to be hurt by that, which obviously is a good thing, because they seemingly have fixed it now. But that's a lesson to any of the EA when Anthem comes out, or, you know, whoever, Division 2 with Massive, be ready day one. Because the most frustrating thing as a gamer is to get that new game, you have no choice but to play it online, and you can't play it because there's online issues. That'll make me never want to play the game again. But that's just me.
My question now for that, though, is will they be able to sustain that 2 million user bid now that the 14-day trial is about to end next week?
No, it's going to drop because just what you said. I think a lot of people picked it up for 14-day free trial. You know, and realistically, let's say, and I'm just throwing a random number out there. Let's say 500,000 people picked up that 14-day free trial and played Sea of Thieves. How many people are going to keep that subscription going? At best, you can only expect 30% of them, right? So, I mean, when you look at it that way, yeah, a lot of people are going to drop off just for that fact. But the way that you get people to come back is communicate with the community and new content, as we already said.
Yeah, and that's exactly, I'm one of those people, right? I only got the Game Pass trial because I wanted to try out the game. I haven't even gone back to the game. I haven't gone back to Sea of Thieves since the weekend, you know? So I don't know. I may just, I mean, it's $10 for me. It's not going to break my bank. Some people it will, you know, I have $10 in disposable income. So I'll go ahead and I'll let that maybe let it ride and go for another month and see if I actually get any more gameplay out of Sea of Thieves. If I don't, at that point, that's when I know, okay, well, Sea of Thieves isn't for me. I should definitely have an idea. I don't really have a lot of energy to go towards it because obviously, you know, Far Cry 5 now is the new hotness. Maybe I'll get sucked back into it, you know, for a couple of days. $10, I think, for me is a good, you know, test price for me to check it out for 6 weeks.
Okay. I think once I finish Far Cry, I just want to finish the story. Once I finish with that, I'm probably going to play a lot more of Sea of Thieves. Like, I can see myself playing for a while. So, but the thing is, nowadays it's so difficult, man. Like, the attention span from a lot of people, they just, like, they'll move on. There's so many games out.
There's so many games.
Yeah. You know, there's so many games. Not only consoles, but PC, handheld, you know, so, or people will just stick with one game for the whole year and that's it. So
we're,
I don't
always
know,
chasing the new shiny is the way I like to say it. There's always something new to chase. I mean, think about it. God of War is about to come out. Yo, God of War comes out in 3 weeks. I mean, you know, that's going to be the next thing people are going to be playing, you know. Then after that, Detroit is a month after that. You know, it goes on and on. Obviously, there's going to be big announcements at E3. Then you're going to have all the fall games. So it's like, oh, it's too many damn games. It really is. Look, it is an amazing time to be a gamer right now in 2018 because there's just such a vast library of such compelling content to play. But at the same time, if you got that disposable income like Pete was talking about and you can afford to get them all, then goddamn it, what are you playing? This is too much. I don't know what to play.
It's too much. Yeah. Yeah, that sometimes we get games, you know, to review and stuff, and dude, sometimes we have too many that we don't know what to do, man. It's like, oh my god.
Yeah, first world problems.
Like we have to decide, okay, Paris, you focus on this game, I'll focus on this. Because it's only three of us, so you know, there's so much we could play, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, holiday season gets a little chore.
Like, here's a game that I received this game 2 weeks ago. And I haven't really had a chance to play it because I'm trying to find someone to play with, man. So EA gave me a copy of A Way Out. No, it's not No Way Out. It's A Way Out, I think it's called. It's A Way Out.
A Way Out, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I've been trying to find someone to play. So what happened was when I got the game early, I tried to invite someone, but there was no access for them to download like the trial for us to play the whole game together online. So the game came out on Friday last week. So now I'm calling out people whoever would like to play the game that don't have a copy. I already have a copy. I'll invite you. Just let me know. Hit me up on Discord or other places. Just hit me up and we'll play, because I'm dying to play the game, but I just haven't had a chance. You know, Pete, you have an Xbox. You know, we could. See, that I think that that would be a perfect game to do crossplay. That I think that would be awesome. Like, I will invite Paris from his PC. He will play with me on Xbox. I think that would have worked, but I don't know.
So
yeah.
Wrap your head around this. Imagine it's the third week of November. You got Thanksgiving break coming up.
Yeah.
You got the new Splinter Cell, Borderlands 3, Red Dead 2, Destiny expansion, Sea of Thieves expansion.
Oh my God.
Stuff I can't even think of right now, but you get the point I'm trying to make. There are going to be so many Spider-Man. There are going to be so many games by the time we get to the middle of November. What are you going to play? What are you going to play?
And you know what's scary? You haven't even mentioned
Smash Brothers.
Nintendo has planned.
Yeah, Smash Brothers.
You haven't mentioned Halo 6. Yeah, like,
that's what I'm saying.
Oh my God. Oh man.
It's a good place.
What are you doing in a situation like that, man? Like,
whatever Bethesda's gonna drop, because you know Bethesda will have something.
Oh my God. Yeah, because it's two of them, right?
Yeah.
It's two new games.
I mean, but this is the point I'm trying to make. It is such a great time to be a gamer, but it's almost paralyzing at the same time, because you gotta make some real choices on what you're gonna play. And like you said, with the attention spans, people don't finish games anymore because they're constantly jumping to the next thing. But like, imagine you pick up Red Dead and you want to play Red Dead. I mean, you're talking what, 80 to 100 hour commitment just on that?
Yeah.
Ain't talking about nothing else. Just on that game alone. You know, it's crazy. Not to mention, you know, PUBG is going to have new maps out. Fortnite's going to have new stuff out. It's like, it never stops, dude. Never freaking stops. It's crazy.
Yeah, man. Is it 2007? Do you think so?
It's up there.
It could be.
It's really up there. When you put it into that perspective, I would have to say it definitely could compete with 2007. I think the difference with 2007, though, is it was new IPs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we've never seen that many new IPs drop in a single year, and all of them are still relevant to this day. That says a lot.
Paris, let's go way back. I don't know if you remember this, because you were there. Pete wasn't a part of GTR yet. This is when Paris used to be Uncle Gamer back in the days.
I remember
we were in, I think this was E3. 2008, I think, or 2007. I can't. No, 2008.
2008 was Left 4 Dead and Fallout 3.
No, but remember this: we were interviewing Shane Kim from Xbox, and I remember that year they announced a galore of first party exclusives for the Xbox 360 at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to him, like, isn't it too much? Isn't that a bad thing for your console? Because there's so many great games coming out same year.
If you spread it out.
You know what? Yeah. But he said this. He goes, no, it's not a bad thing because there's a game for everyone.
Yeah.
There's people that are probably into RPGs. That's all they're going to buy. There's others that are into shooters. They'll buy that. But the thing of all those games that you mentioned, a lot of them that you just mentioned right now, they're all shooters. The majority of them.
But was 2000, so now, like, now you're really racking my brain. So was 2008 the year they had Lost Odyssey, Blue Dragon?
Yeah, that was the year. It was like a year? Bunch of like,
yeah,
first.
Yeah, it was, stuff. Was that,
I think,
was that also,
I think it was Halo.
Banjo, because no, Halo was 2007, Halo 3. Then they had that Banjo Kazooie, the Nuts and Bolts or whatever. And then I think they had Ninja Gaiden exclusive to them at the time, whatever that Ninja Gaiden was.
So many.
Was that Gears 2? That was Gears 2, wasn't it?
I can't remember. 2008? It was Gears 2.
I think Gears 2 was 2008. Yeah. But your point remains. Yeah, they had a ton of games.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, that's different because there were so many different type of games. But this one that you just mentioned, all that list is all first person shooters. The majority of them. Just like, God.
Well, Blue Dragon and Lost Odyssey were RPGs, so.
No, I'm talking about from the ones from now for this year, from November.
Oh, yeah.
The games that you mentioned.
Red Dead. Red Dead isn't.
Red Dead is not a shooter. It's not a third party.
You said first person.
Shoot.
No, he said.
Yeah, well, I said shooter first. Okay, and then I get your first point.
Sorry. Continue. All right.
Why are you making it so difficult?
And 2008. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. And thinking about it, 2008, I would have been with GTR because that's the year Dead Space came out, and I was in LA. I was in Redwood Shores for the announcements of that.
Oh man, I can't remember now.
That was my first year of GTR because remember, I went to my first assignment was Studio Showcase 2007.
You know what? He was with GTR because I met Pete at CES 2008.
Yep.
Yep.
He was with GTR. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Yep. You're right. All right.
That was when Exclusive was born.
The exclusive video.
Exclusive. And now we have a lot. We have What If. We have Let Me Dream.
Four Skew.
Oh, by the way.
The Four Skew.
By the way. May 2018, folks. I hope you're ready for this. May 2018, the return of Miss Leo.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. You hear me?
The return of Miss Leo, ladies and gentlemen. I am pumped for that. Pumped. Predictions. Woo! E3 predictions, yes. Can't wait for that. Anything else before we wrap it up? Anything else?
No, I think that's it. I think we got some good content there.
Yeah, good. Pete, anything else, Pete?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I think we killed it.
Yeah.
Another great episode.
By the way, I'm working on a couple of things, a couple of interviews. Hopefully, fingers crossed. I hope it happens, but we might have a couple guests in the future. Not one, not two, but a lot of guests joining us. So stay tuned. I'll keep you posted. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, I got one last thing to say because I want to make sure it's on the podcast proper so everyone can hear it.
The
Division 2 better not come out in 2018. It's a mistake. I'm going to keep saying it until I'm proven wrong.
Are you threatening Ubisoft with that bat, though?
That's right.
It better not come out in 2018.
Me and Boomer are going to go to Copenhagen, raise a ruckus.
But Paris, why not, man?
Rushing it. It's a rush. Don't rush it.
Yeah. There's a lot of employees.
Matter of fact, and I got to go watch it. Massive did an interview with IGN today. I need to go watch that. Talking about that stuff. So actually, be curious to see what they say. Because my point is, I'm not screaming for the Division 2 right now. I don't need it right now. Everything that we just said about this holiday of games, now I'm going to throw the Division 2 into that mix too? Good googly moogly. I can't. It's too much.
That's pushing what we need on a shirt.
Googly moogly.
we need a pair of shirt that says good googly moogly.
I stole that from Joey Diaz. He's a comedian. He says it all the time.
Oh, boy.
But no, but my point is, man, that is too much. Don't rush it. Massive, I don't need a Division 2 right now. Give me the Division 2 in March 2019. That's when I want it.
So what happened to say it to your face? Yeah, 2018.
I would go, well, okay, guess I'll be playing in 2018. And then I pop him
aside. You have no choice. He has the bat like this, and he drops the bat down like this.
No, I'm dead serious, man. I do not want that game this year. I don't. I feel like that's rushing it. I don't want it. Give me Splinter Cell. I'd rather have Splinter Cell this year.
Oh, my God. Imagine both of them in the same year.
They're not going to do that.
They're insane if they do that.
They are insane.
Insane.
Just the Division, March 2019, 3 years. We're good. That's it. I'm happy. And then Pete.
Yeah.
Since we're talking Miss Leo hints and all that kind of stuff, Cyberpunk, they're gonna show it. They're showing it this year. They're showing it. CD Projekt Red just gonna come walking in there wearing a cape and in a mink, just walk in there.
So probably Phil Spencer gonna be on stage.
Oh, here we go. Why is it gotta be Xbox? Gotta be Xbox with you. End the show. I'm done.
They did the same thing for Witcher.
Maybe they do something else.
What? Why are you guys are hating? This is the possible.
Only way this that is happens is using the Infinity Gauntlet.
Marketing.
Sorry. Because
I'm talking about marketing.
Say, next
marketing
you're
say exclusive.
It's going to be 6 months exclusive or something. You'll say something crazy like that.
No, I'm not going to say that.
What if?
Yo, no, let me tell you this. Imagine. I really doubt it's going to happen. I really doubt it. I just doubt it. I doubt it. But imagine they say it's coming out 2018. I know it's not going to happen. It's impossible. But what would you do in a situation like that?
If why bring up things that you know is not going to happen? I'm not speculating on just, it in the show. I'm not talking about this.
A conversation, a what if conversation. Okay, that's all. Okay. What would you do in a situation like that?
What if Thanos got the Infinity Gauntlet and snapped his finger and Cyberpunk came out last year? There you go. There's a what if for you.
Right? Why? I can't even have a conversation with you guys. Man, you guys suck. All right. Yep. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com or AudioBoom.com. And other places too. You can find us Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, you know, all these other places, you know, and share with your friends. Subscribe. Spread the word. You know, Paris doesn't care much about what if conversations, so I will never bring up what if anymore.
Well, that's a lie.
It's all good. And that's it. I think I'm done. Anything else? We're out. We good? Until next time. Peace.
My God, he like flat out was refusing to end the show.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.